Okay,
yeah.
So we are holding on Nundalat Amud Aleph, near the bottom, about 12 lines from the bottom. Samigan Zigizbarin. Okay. So we talked yesterday about the detail. We started talking yesterday about the details about the Chomesh when you're redeeming Ma'aseh Sheni. We talked about how much the Chomesh is. We talked about we talked about what's the minimum amount that you're obligated to, so that you, that the Ma'aseh Sheni has to be worth for you to be obligated in Chomesh. And we talk about what happens if you don't give the Chomesh. Is the Ma'aseh Sheni redeemed b'di'eved or not? Or do we maybe make a gzera that you can't use it until you can? The Chomesh goes. The Chomesh also goes together with the rest of the money for Ma'aseh Sheni. You bring the whole thing, the Keren and the Chomesh, to your Shlaim and use it to buy food.
Because you switched it over.
No, just because it's your own Ma'aseh. There's a cost of it. When you're redeeming your own Ma'aseh or your own Hekdesh, then you have to pay an extra Chomesh. So now the Gemara is going to ask some more. Now the Gemara is going to ask some more.
And only yourself.
Only yourself, right. So now the Gemara is going to start off with some questions on this connection, or in general, about the Chomesh. Now, we know there's a number of different cases where you have Chomesh. Besides Ma'aseh Sheni, a Chomesh comes into play also when you're redeeming Hekdesh. Chomesh also comes into play if you eat Terumah B'Shogig. You have to pay Keren B'Chomesh. We're going to discuss with all of these things, what's the status of the Chomesh as compared to the Keren? Does it have the same rules? So, now, we know, first of all, that there's the Chachamim said, the din is, Hekdesh enemis kalal karka, that Hekdesh cannot be redeemed on karka. If you have something that you donated to Hekdesh and you want to buy it back from Hekdesh, you have to give kesef or shava kesef. You can't give karka. Because the Pasuk says, doesn't actually say these words, but it's sort of a paraphrase of a Pasuk there in Bechokosai, that the Pasuk says, v'nasana kesef, you give the money, v'kamloi, and it becomes yours, implying that it has to be that you give money, or at least shava kesef, but not kesef. And for the same reason, not about the mushtaris. So, the question is, chumshe ma'ashi yischal ala kaka. Fine, that's as far as the Keren. What about, does the same thing hold true as far as the Chomesh? When you're redeeming your own Hekdesh, again, you have to pay the Keren, and you have to pay a Chomesh, another 25%. Can you pay that 25% with Karka, maybe? Another question. We know there's a din that if you ate, if a Zor ate Truma b'shoigig, he doesn't pay the Koyen money to pay back for the Truma. Rather, what he does is he pays out of Cholin. He gives the Koyen fruit, which then that fruit will gain the status of Truma. And then the Koyen from now on has that as Truma. That's the question. We know that, because the Pasuk says you give to the Koyen the Kodesh, implying Dover HaRoyali is Kodesh. It has to be something which is capable of becoming Kodesh. Something with Kodesh in this connection means Truma, something which is capable of becoming Truma. Money can't become Truma, therefore it has to be Peres. Again, the question is, Chum Shamar Shishtam Shalem Nacholin. What about the Chomesh? Can you give him, for example, it actually says money or clothes, the Shava Kesef, instead of actual food? Would that work for the Chomesh? And a third question, Meister in Mischal ala Simon. We know there's a particular din with Meister when it comes to redeeming Meister that you cannot use an Asimon, as we talked about earlier in the Perek, that either an Asimon means a coin that doesn't have an image on it at all, or according to Tosfos, it has an image but not anything really significant. We talked about it earlier in the Perek, yeah. We know that's true, because the Pasuk says you should bundle up the money in your hand. And the tzarta is also meloshin tzura, meloshin an image. Therefore, the rabbis called davashiyashal tzura. So it comes to include that you have to dafka use something that has an image on it, which we learned the other day. We learned previously in the parak that actually there was a machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on that, but the halachas like Rabbi Akiva that you do need. So the question is again, chumshem arushis chalal asimun. What about the chomish? Can you use an asimun for that? For the chomish they're doing for Ma'aseh Sheni. So basically the question boils down to, in all these three cases, is it, whatever din applies to the Keren, does it necessarily apply to the Chomesh or not? If Galgal Milsa or Motzala Kameda Rava, eventually this matter rolled along, in other words, one person told it to another, etc., until it reached the attention of Rava, Amalahu, and he answered the people who brought him the question. Yes, Omakrov, Olav, the Pasuk says in each of these cases when the Torah mentions that you have to add the fifth, the Torah always uses the expression that you add Chamishisa Olav on it, implying the Rabbis Chumshe Kamosai, which comes to teach us, therefore, that the Chomesh is just like it. So just like, for example, when it comes to hekdesh, the keren can't be, you can't use karka for a keren, so you can't use it for the chomesh either. Same thing with the other two questions. Yes, the answer is whatever applies to the keren applies to the chomesh as well. Now, Tosfos points out it's not to say all the rules are the same. We just said before that in the previous Gemara that we learned yesterday that maybe the Chomish is not ma'akev. Maybe even if you didn't pay the Chomish, we have cases over there involving Hekdesh, involving Shabbos or whatever, where nevertheless it is Padri, where that wouldn't be the case if you hadn't given the Keren. Later on, the Gemara is going to talk about another difference also between the Keren and the Chomish. But the point is that Tosfos says all it means is whenever you're paying a Keren and you have to pay a Chomish as well, then the whatever rules apply to the keren do apply to the chomesh. That's all it means. Yeah.
So these exceptions.
Yeah. With these exceptions, but in other words, not those are side things. In other words, if you didn't pay the chomesh, then it's still pottery. If you're re-redeeming the chomesh, then we're going to say later you don't add another chomesh on top of it. Omer Ravina, Achanan Nami Tanena. So Ravina says, yeah, as a matter of fact, we can prove that because we learn in a Braisa, Hagonav Truma, it's a mission actually in Trumas, Hagonav Truma Valerachla. If somebody stole Truma from a Kohen but did not eat it, which then he's just going to return the actual Truma, Mishalam Tashlom Ekefel, then he just pays Tashlom Ekefel, and the Tashlom Ekefel was paid with money. Mishalam Tashlom Ekefel is made Truma. He pays Kefel according to the value of Truma, which, as we've learned a number of times before, Truma is worth less than Chulin. When you sell Truma, you know, we added in Rina Maskid, for example, because it can only be eaten by Koyanim, it can only be eaten when you're Tahar. So therefore, people will not be willing to pay as much for Truma as they would for an equivalent amount of Chulin. So you're giving back the actual Truma, but you're paying Kefil. The point is the Kefil, you don't have to give fruit. You don't have to give, for example, regular fruit, regular Chulin, which now will become Truma, as you would if you ate it for Shogig. Rather, you're paying the Keren, you're giving back the actual Truma itself. And the Kefil, you're giving him money, an equivalent amount of the value of Truma, not the value as if it had been Chulin. Yeah. Ochla. Now, what happens if he ate it? Which Rashi says we're talking about over here, it has to be that he ate it for shogeg, because if he ate it for mezid, you wouldn't have the same din. The Rambam actually learns that we are talking about even for mezid.
No.
Well, if he does get mitzvah b'shemayim, fine, but that doesn't necessarily pastor him from paying. No, the common b'shemayim we learned in Sobos only applies to mitzvah based din. I'm not missing that. Mishalim shnei keronim b'chomish. Then in that case, he has to pay two kerens plus a chomish. He has to pay. So now he ate it. Now he's paying back. Now he's paying back a full. He's not giving back the original food because he ate it. So now he has to give one keren to pay back for the actual truma, one for the kefil, plus a chomish for the fact that he ate truma, for the fact that he ate truma b'shogeg. And in that case, the difference is keren b'chomish min acholin. The one keren plus the chomish has to be from cholin. As we said, you give him actual fruit and it turns into truma. That keren is made truma. The other one that you're paying as kefil, which is a knas for being a ganav, that you pay according to the value of truma. So the fifth is in the first category. That's what we're saying. We're saying that the fifth is in the same category as the ke. In other words, like this: if you have, for example, a pound of fruit. A pound of some kind of produce, of cholin, would be worth $10, but if it's truma, it's only worth $7. What you're doing is, for the first keren b'chomesh, you're paying full $10 worth of fruit, because you're paying cholin. You're taking actual cholin for the value of $10, because it has to be the same amount that you ate, and adding to it a chomesh, another $2.50, and giving that to him. In addition, you're paying another keren for the fact that you ate, for the fact that you stole, but that other keren can be dmei truma. It can only be $7 rather than $10, and it can be money, or it can be begodim or whatever.
You give it to them. It has to be chul and tahar.
Yes, you actually make the point of saying peiros misukonin. It has to be peiros that are already meiser, has been taken from them. They're already ready to eat. So therefore. Well, yeah. Therefore, that goes to show the chomesh is just like the keren, in that we're saying that the chomesh has to be paid out of cholin, out of peiros cholin, just as the keren does. Shmamina, good. That proves Rava's point that yes, the chomesh in general is like the keren. Yeah. Another series of questions. Amar Rava, Gabi Gezel Ksiv. Now we know, again, there's you have, besides for the cases that we mentioned before, there's other cases also where Chomish applies. Another one is something that we learned about towards the end of Bava Kamma, the concept that if you stole from somebody or withheld wages from him or whatever, and you swore falsely on it, and then later on you admit and want to do tshuva, you have to pay keren v'chomish. So there's another case of chomish. We're going to have a Mishnah later on in Hey Amid Beis that's going to mention there's five cases where there's a chomish involved, and we're going to see in the Gemara over there maybe more, whatever. We'll get to that in there. But anyway. Gabi Gezel Ksiv. Now, when it comes to Gezel, when the Torah by the concept of Asham Gzelus, that when you do tshuva on a case like that, you pay the keren, you pay the chomish, you bring an Asham Gzelus. The pasuk says v'chamish shisav yosef olav. The pasuk says you add its fifth to it. Now, what do you mean a fifth plural? Oh, tanan. So we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, nosam es a keren v'nishbalay al chomish. Suppose that now, okay, so you have a case, a person stole from somebody else, and he denied it and swore falsely, and later on he does tshuva and wants to do tshuva and give it back. So he has to pay a keren b'chomish. He stole 100, he's supposed to pay 125. Suppose that now he returns the 100, and then when the guy says, "New, where's the 25?" he swears falsely that he paid back the 25 when really he didn't. Then we say you have to pay a new chomish for that 25 becomes like a new keren, and you have to pay a new chomish for that. A new 25% for that.
For swearing falsely
on the second one. So, second time, in other words, 25 was the 25 is the keren from the second time, because that was the original chomish. Now you're paying that 25 plus another 6.25 for the chomish of that.
Full chomish.
Because not. You only denied the 25. You paid the 100.
Right. So why should?
So you're saying now you denied the 25. You didn't pay the chomish. Now what happens is we treat that old chomish as if it was a new keren, as if it was a new $25 that you stole from him and denied and swore falsely, etc. And therefore you're going to pay that plus a chomish of that. Chomish of that is 25%. 25% of 25. Yeah. So therefore.
Someone is six.
So that'll be 6.25. Yeah. Adchi smaita keren pas meshava prota, and you keep on going like that. Let's say then he pays the 25. Later on, he denies and swears falsely on the 6.25, etc. You're going to keep on going like that until you reach the point where the keren that he's denying is worth less than a prota. So we know in that case
that amounts to the same amount.
What do you mean eventually it amounts? No,
There comes a point.
For example, let's say a prota is 10 cents. There comes a point, let's say, where the chomish from last time around is only 5 cents,
yeah.
And now you deny that you paid the keren, the 20 cents or whatever it was supposed to be. You denied the 5 cents. Now we're saying because the chomish of that is going to be worth less than a prutta, because a prutta, let's say, is 10 cents, then therefore at that point you'll be potter.
Oh.
Yes. So therefore we know that. So when the Torah says a chamishi sov, that's what it means. In other words, that there can be fifth. Plural, a fifth of a fifth of a fifth, etc., as many times as it takes.
To go up to
the... Until you reach the point where you're less than a person, yeah. And another case, Gabi Truma Ksiv. Similarly, you have a case by Truma, where the pasuk says, V'ishki yoichol kodesh b'shgaga, a person eats kodesh, meaning Truma b'shogig, v'yosef hamishisei olav, then he has to add a fifth to it. Well, it's not. And indeed, we learn in a Mishnah in Truma that the same kind of thing applies. Somebody eats truma b'shogeg, mishal and keren b'chomish. Then you have to pay keren b'chomish, fruit, as we said before. Echad ha'oichol ve'echad ha'shoyse ve'echad ha'soch. This is true whether he eats it or drinks it or smears it on his skin, because all those things are considered a form of eating or drinking it. Since the pasuk says yoichal, it has to be something which is similar to eating or drinking. Because in Yuma, when it talks about the dinim of it's a Mishnah Shabbos actually that says minayin l'sicha shekashia, where we have a hint in a pasuk that smearing something on your body is similar to drinking it, because they have a pasuk in Tilla, matavei kamayim v'kivim v'chashem and bat moisa. And therefore, just as you're not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed, when we say the various inuyim of Yom Kippur, they also include sicha, smearing creams or lotions or oils or what have you on your body.
Shabbos or just Yom Kippur?
No, the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah is mentioning a number of lemudim. Sokim, that's one of them. But it's a din as far as Yom Kippur. The point is, sicha is considered b'chalal achilu rishtia. As opposed to, Rashi says, if you were to destroy the struma some other way, you wouldn't be paying keren v'chomish because then you're not yoichal, then you're mazik. V'chiyoichal means prat l'mazik. As opposed to, if you're mazik struma, you don't have the keren v'chomish rule. Then you just pay like an ordinary mazik. And the Mishnah continues, echad truma tahara v'echad truma tmeya, whether what you ate or smeared on your skin or whatever was truma that was tahar or tamei, either way, mishalam chumsha, either way you will pay the chumash, v'chumsha the chumsha, and in that case there will also be a fifth on top of a fifth. Same idea, let's say for example, after you gave the kohen, the keren and the chumash, out of peiros of kolin, which now turned into truma, now you went and ate the chumash b'shogig, you're going to have to pay him back for that and a chumash of that. Same idea.
You'll pay the
chomish and a chomish of that. Yeah, the chomish of that. Yeah. Okay, so that's so far we see that is that true as far as gezel and as far as truma. This concept that you'll have a chomish of a chomish as many times as necessary. What about the ilgavi meiser? What about when it comes to meiser being poyde meiser sheni? Again, adding the chomish. Loy michtiv ktiv loy misnetana. There's no pasuk that implies that you should have to add a fifth of a fifth. Loy misnetana, and there's no mishnah or braisa about that. Meaning, in other words, let's say so a person goes and redeems his ma'aser sheni on coins. So he's adding a chomish. If now he decides to transfer the kedusha of that chomish onto other coins, he doesn't have to add another fifth to that. Fine. So far, so good. And we don't even have a reason to ask about it. It's poshut that we don't. There's no hint in a pasuk. At least by truma, you have the pasuk says v'yosef chamishisay. But by ma'aser, it doesn't use that expression. It uses chamishisay yosef olav. And as we'll see soon, there's a difference between those two expressions, and therefore there's no reason to think that by ma'aser there should be a concept of a chomish of a chomish. Okay, so we have two things one way. Gezel and Truma. We have another one, which is the other way, Meiser. Now the question is, Gabe Hektish. What about when it comes to Hektish? To being Poida Hektish. See, if the Pasuk says, V'imamaktish yigalase. So if a person who declared his house, for example, Hektish, and later on he wants to redeem his house from Hektish, V'yosef hamishis kesef ekecha, then he should add a fifth of the value of the value of the evaluated value of the house. Utnan, and
which is important.
Well, fourth, as usual, yes. Utnan, and indeed we learn in Mishnah, Hapodes, that's actually the two Mishnahs from now, on Nunhei and Rebeis, Hapodes, Hesdesh, and Moshe Chomish. If a person is Poda, anything that he donated to Hektish, then he has to add a fifth. So now, Chumsha Tnan. The Mishnah tells us over there that you have to add a fifth. What about Chumsha to Chumsha Loitnan? The Mishnah does not say anything about what about a fifth of a fifth. What about, for example, again, if you donated your house to Hektish, let's say, so it's worth $1 million. Now you want to be paid it, you have to pay $1.2 million because you have to add a chomish. Now let's say, so now what is it? You don't have to be redeeming it with cash on the barrel head necessarily. We just said on Amud Aleph before you can use shava kesef as well. So suppose you threw in your car, which is worth $200,000, let's say. Now, let's say you want to be paid to that car. What? $250, you're right. So now you were paid to your house, part of it included that to deal with the chomish, you gave them your car, which is worth $250,000. Halavai, you all have such cars. Now you want to be paid to that car. Do you have to add a chomish to that $250,000? On the one, what would be the din? Gavit truma ksiv v'yosaf. On the one hand, we can say when it's by truma, the pasuk uses the expression v'yosaf that he should add. Well, gavit kodesh nami ksiv v'yosaf. Fine, by hektish, the Torah uses the same expression. Therefore, maybe the same din should apply as by truma. Yes, there could be a chomish of a chomish. Oduma, or maybe the difference is gavit truma ksiv v'yosaf. It is true that by truma it says v'yosaf, but the Torah, the expression by truma is v'yosaf chamishi soin. And therefore, if you take the vav of the word v'yosaf, the shadis le'al chamishi soy, and you add it to the end of the word chamishi soy, havile chamishi sov, then you'll have turned it into a plural. From chamishi soy, it's fifth. You will have turned it into chamishi sov, it's fifth. And therefore, we'd say that's a remez in the Torah that by truma, this is a valid method of drash. The Gemara uses it in other places also. Well, no, what you're doing is you're saying that effectively it's as if the whole Torah was one long word, which in a certain sense it is, called Torah Shmoyz of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, you can take a word from one, therefore you can take a letter from one word and stick it on to another word to create a new word sort of. Which then and use that for purposes of drasha. The Gemara does that in a few places. We'll have it in Bava Basra. We'll have such a thing. There's a number of places.
Yeah,
yeah. Obviously, you can't just do it willy nilly. We're talking about yeah.
It's like a gezeirah shavu kabbalah.
Yeah. Fine, but so what? That's the same way as, for example, you have yeah. Right, but no, it would really be vav vav, right? Yeah, it would be chamishi sav with two vav. Right, but that's what we mean, yeah. On the other hand, Gabe Hektish Ksiviyasa Chamishi. Fine, but by Hektish doesn't say Chamishi Soi, it says just Chamishi. Well, after Gabe Chishakbat with the Vav of Yosef, Shadus by Chamishis. Fine, so what happens? You take the Vav of Yosef, you add it to the word Chamishis, Soi, Havile Chamishi Soi. All you've done is you've turned it from Chamishis, meaning a fifth, into Chamishi Soi, its fifth. You still don't have a plural over there. And now Rashi says, why can't you say, for example, that you would take it, that you take the vav and stick it into the middle of the word and turn it into chamishi yois? So Rashi says, because you can't do that. This gurdon and masif and redoshin, this concept of taking a letter from one word and adding it to another, only works if you add it to the end of the word or to the beginning of the word. Now, you can't add it to the middle. There are other mafarshim who say, not necessarily. We do find, for example, in Bechoros, the Gemara does a drasha that involves rearranging the letters in two adjacent words. But rather, they say the difference is you do have the word chamishi sav in the Torah at the beginning. We said over there by Gezel, the Torah actually says chamishi sav. There's no place where the Torah uses the word chamishi yos. Therefore, we have no basis to say that you can add a vav to the middle of chamishis to turn it into a word that doesn't even exist anywhere else in the Torah. So that's the question. On the one hand, you have the same word as by. On the one hand, you have to say the same by Vyasa, by Hektish as you do by Truma. On the other hand, the next word is different. You have Chamishi Soi by Truma. You have Chamishis by Hektish. So does the same rule apply or not? Okay. The Gemara asks, what do you even need to ask the question? But typically, to have a like Hektish Sheni. Never mind that. Never mind whether you can darshan from the two v'yosafs or whether you have to look at chamishis versus chamishisai. Just consider the fact to have a hektish sheni that what do you have now? This is second level hektish. This is that you were makdish your house, you're redeeming it for a bunch of things, including your car. Your car is now hektish sheni. It's the second level hektish. It's not the original thing that you declared hektish. Well, the alma. V'omer Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi, and Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi says, which we're going to get into a discussion of that soon, a hektish rishon moisif chomesh, al hektish sheni ein moisif chomesh. As a general rule, when it comes to hektish rishon, you have to add a chomesh. When it comes to hektish sheni, you don't. So never mind the question of chomishis, whether it's chomishis sov or not. The bottom line is it's hektish sheni. Why should we think you don't? According to Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi's rule, you never have to add it. You never have to add a chomesh to that.
The rule is shared by the.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to discuss what Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi is saying, but we don't have anybody who disagrees with him. We're going to discuss, and we're going to see whether we can substantiate it. Amalei Papi Ravina. However, a Papi says to Ravina, no, because Hachi Amar Rachmana Hachi Amar Rava, because you should know that Rava said Chaimish Ketchilas Hektish Dam. It's true, fine. We'll accept Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi's din, the difference between Hektish Rishon and Hektish Sheni. However, the chomesh is considered part of hektish rishon. This that we're saying, when you're redeeming your house and giving various other goods, including a car, in return for it, that car is not considered hektish sheni, it's rather considered hektish rishon. Hektish sheni would be if you take, hektish sheni would be if the car was part of the keren, basically, then that would be hektish sheni. But when it's part of the chomesh, then it's considered hektish rishon. Ketchilas hektish, which is another way of saying hektish rishon. So therefore, yeah. So now, maybe you should have to add a fifth there, just like regular hektish rishon. My havi halacha. So what's the bottom line? What is the halacha? Amar Rav Tavyumi Mishmei Dabaya Amakra. Well, the pasuk says v'yosef chamishis kesef erkecha. That you have to add a fifth of the value of the house. Therefore, makish chumsha lekesef erkei. Therefore, by saying v'yosef chamishis kesef erkecha, you should add a fifth of the value. Makish chumsha the kesef erkei. The pasuk is making a hekish, is making a comparison between the chumash and the kesef erkei. Ma kesef erkei moisif chomish. Just as with the original kesef erkei, the original value of the house, you would have to add a chomish. Af kesef chomish inami moisif chomish, then yes, the same rule does apply to the chomish as well. You would have to add a chomish if you want to redeem that car.
One is mitosanim and one is karka.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We said that you can't redeem hektish on karka, but karka itself can be made hektish. It couldn't have been the other way around. In other words, you couldn't have been makdish your car and then try to be poyed at using your house. That wouldn't work. But you can be makdish your house and then be poyed at using your car. Gufa. Okay. Getting back to what we said before, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, al hektish rishon motzei chomish, v'al hektish sheni ein motzei chomish, that we're saying this distinction, if you have the original hektish versus something that you transferred the kedusha of the hektish onto, we're saying the first one you have to add a chomish, but the second one you don't. Again, not when the second thing itself is chomish, but like Rava just said, that's considered that would be considered as if it was part of the keren. That would be considered as if it was hektish rishon. But we're talking about if you're using something else as to stand in for the actual value of the thing, then you don't have to add a chomish when you're redeeming it. So you were makdish your house and you poyed it using let's take a simpler example. Let's say, for example, there's no chomish involved. If you're being poyed to somebody else's hektish, you don't add a chomish. So Reuven was Makdish's house. Shimon is poyed to that house using a number of things, including his car. If later on Shimon wants to be poyed to his car, he does not have to add a chomish.
Because
it's hektish shame. It's hektish shame, because it's second level hektish. Amar Rava, my time is Rabbi Shimon Levi. What's Rabbi Shimon Levi's reason? Why does he? What's the logic to distinguish between hektish rishon and hektish sheni? Because Amar Kravi Mamakdish Yudgal Asbeisa. Because the pasuk says, if the one who declared a hektish redeems his house, implying hamakdish v'lo hamakdish. This only applies to someone who does the original declaration of hektish, not makdish. Not when you're saying this should be instead of that one, where it didn't have. You didn't to begin with declare the car hektish. You declared it that this is standing in for that house which was previously declared hektish. That's called makdish. And therefore that the pasuk is implying by saying v'ma makdish you go say so implying but not makdish. Tony Tana comes. The original, not the original person necessarily, but the original thing that you declared hektish. As opposed to something else that you're saying, I am giving this instead of the original object of hektish. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Elazar, a Tana Torah Braisa in front of Rav Elazar that we have, we're going to see how this Braisa relates to what we're talking about over here. The Pasuk says, V'imba behema tmeo poda berkecha. If you donate a behema tmeo, to the Beis Hamikdash, and obviously it's not going to have kedushas like guf, it's not going to be brought to the korban. It would be one of those things that it'll be one of those, it's kedushas damim, the value of it has kedusha, and eventually hektish will sell it and use the money for the repairs to the Beis Hamikdash, or for bedek habayis, for repairs or upkeep or whatever for the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk is the imba behemat meya or pada be'erkecha. Then you should redeem it for its value. Now, Rashi says the point that the Braita is going to use as a jumping off point is what's ba behemat meya? It just wants to say the im behemat meya. If what you donated is a behemat meya, what ba behemat meya in the behemat meya? So therefore, it must mean that what we're saying is there's a certain category of hektish which is similar to a behemat meya. We're using behemat meya, in other words, as a binyan av for other kinds of hektish. Namely, ma behemat meya miyuchedes, just like a behemat meya has a unique feature, shetchilot hektish, it's the original thing that you declared hektish, which the Gemara is going to challenge that soon. L'chora, why can't you have a behemat meya? It could be something that you exchange for a different one. But for the time being, let's take that as given, that it is chilot hektish, it's the original thing that you declared hektish. The whole thing belongs to the Eibishter in the sense that if you had donated as a korban, if it had kedushas guf and you were going to donate it as a korban, you the owner would end up having a share in it. You would get it would be a shlamim. You would get most of the meat of it. Like this, where it's a behemoth meyer, where it only has kedushas damim, and hektish is going to be selling it for its value. You're not getting anything out of it, and therefore umoylinba. And the concept of Me'ila applies to it.
What do you mean, therefore?
Well, not therefore. And another feature of the Hamas Meya is because it was declared Hekdish, because it has Bishop Damim, therefore the Me'ilah would apply to it. The same thing, anything else which starts that which was the original Hekdish, rather than that it was exchanged for something else, which was Hekdish, Hekdish tradition versus Hekdish Sheni. In other words, the Kol Lashamayim, and it all belongs to the Eibishter, meaning in other words that it's Kedushas Damim, it's Kodesh Bet Kabayis, Moilin Ba, then Me'ilah would apply to it.
Me'ilah didn't apply to Shlamim before the Korban was Shechted.
Right, and after it's Shechted, it applies only to the Emorim.
Right. And
anything
done on
the Right. Amalek. Yeah, that's the chelav, the Zemurim.
Right.
So, Amalei Rav Elazar Tana. So Rav Elazar says to Tana, what are you talking about? Bishleim Akula L'Shamayim. Bishleim Akula. I can understand most of this, but I said, Bishleim Akula L'Shamayim. I can understand what you mean by the word Kula L'Shamayim. You mean L'mo'ot Tikot Shem Kalim. You mean to say, as opposed to if it was an animal that was donated to the Beis Hamikdash, that's Kod Shem Kalim, or the Shlomim, for example. The Kiven De Islo L'Bailam Agavayu, because since the owner will end up having a share in it, less for Me'ilah, therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply. Yeah, it's not Kol Shemayim. El Tchilas Hektish, the Mo'otimai. What are you telling me, Tchilas Hektish? Are you telling me Tchilas Hektish or the Isbe Me'ilah, Seif Hektish, less for Me'ilah? You're telling me then that only something which was originally declared Hektish, Me'ilah applies to it, but if you were to have, I donated my horse to the Beis Hamikdash, and then I exchanged that, and then I said, instead of that horse, I'm going to donate my donkey to the Beis Hamikdash, you're going to tell me Me'ilah wouldn't apply to that donkey? Of course it would. Dumal in a Chomish Kamda. Maybe what you mean to say, when you say Me'ilah, you don't mean the actual din of Me'ilah. You're talking about what you mean is the Chomish.
Why do you use the word Me'ilah?
Because by Me'ilah, you have the same concept of Chomish. In other words, when we say Umoylimba, we don't mean the essential din of Me'ilah applies. Of course, the essential din of Me'ilah applies to any kind of Hekdish. We mean a specific part of the din of Me'ilah, namely that you have to pay a chomish, applies only to Hekdash Rishon and not to Hekdash Sheni.
But you would forgive if you do Me'ilah, then you pay a chomish, but if it's Hekdash Sheni and do Me'ilah, then you don't pay a chomish.
Then you do Me'ilah, but you wouldn't pay yet.
You get it, though.
B'chir Rabbi Shrovan Levi. And in that case, that would be this Brice. It would be substantiating what Rabbi Shrovan Levi says. So the Tana says to him, yes, that's exactly what I meant. I didn't mean Me'ilah as the basic din of Me'ilah. I meant the concept of chomish or not. Now, though, we said before that the limud and the braisa had been that a behemoth smeya is only tchilas hektish, it's only first-level hektish, it can't be second-level. So, omelet of Asher Levinah, why? Behemoth smeya b'tchilas hektish is the emtah hektish lesa. Why can't it be in the middle? Fine, it can't be soif hektish. Rashi explains that the soif hektish would mean something which actually ends up getting used, the thing itself ends up getting used by the Beis Hamikdash, which would be, in other words, either an animal which is brought to the carbon, or it would be, for example, let's say a stone which ends up getting built into the Beis Hamikdash. That would be soif hektish, something which you donated, which winds up being used for it itself ends up being used for the Beis Hamikdash. Tchilas hektish is something which you donate, something which has a monetary value, which then the gezvarim will sell and use the money. But you can also have emtze hektish. You could have, let's say, I donated my horse to the Beis Hamikdash. Fine, they can't use it for anything for the Beis Hamikdash itself. They'll sell the horse and use it to buy something. So that normally they would sell the horse, buy, trade it, let's say, for some stones or whatever, for some building stones, and build the stones in. But now you could have just as well. I want my horse back. I will trade it. I will instead give two donkeys, which is the value of one horse, let's say. That would be emtze hektish, because the donkeys themselves, again, can't be used by hektish themselves. And eventually it'll reach seif hektish, where the gizvarim will sell those donkeys and use the money they'll trade it again. They'll trade it for some stones or some wood or whatever, which will be built into the actual Beis Hamikdash. So a behemoth smeya can just as well, fine, it can't be soif hektish, it could just as well be emtze hektish, it could be tchila. Of course, a behemoth smeya can be tchila, but it could also be emtze. What are you telling me a behemoth smeya is davka? It's just which one, in other words, there can be three different things over here, right? You can have I was makdish a horse, which then I trade it for two donkeys, where now the horse is cholin and the two donkeys have positions damim, are kodesh bet kabayis. And now the gizbarim take those donkeys and trade them for some building stones, which the building stones are soif hektish. They get actually placed into the structure of the business.
The horse isn't tchilas hektesh is in the Kedane.
What? It is. That's the thing. The horse is tchilas hektesh, but the donkeys are emsa hektesh.
Okay. That's the horse point. Is tchilas hektesh.
Yeah, that's the point. We started by saying behemoth may is tchilas hektesh. Why? Behemoth may could just as well be emsa hektesh. It can just as well be somewhere along the chain. There can be behemoth mayor there, right? Or a behemoth mayor can't be the last link in the chain, but it can be any of the other links. Why are you telling me in the bright that Dafka has to be the first link and that and only that? Amalei. So Ravin answers, Lefisha ain't a besoif hektish. Yes, but what we mean is that it can't be soif, it can't be the last link in the chain. And therefore, the Gemara is going to continue saying, Omole Rav Acham Edifti the Ravina. So, okay, Rav Acham Edifti after Ravina, fine. So what? The Emsa Hektish Mia Issa. The fact of the matter is, fine, it can't be so Hektish. But again, it can be Tchilo or it can be Emsa. Veloisif Nami Chaimish. So, therefore, what are you telling me that? If it can be Emsa Hektish, why should you not have to add a Chaimish? What are you telling me? Behemoth Tmeya is unique. That it's only when it's Tchilas Hektish are you paying Chaimish. Why shouldn't you have to equally well when it's Emsa Hektish, when it's the second link? Amalei Harei Kasoif Hektish. Because we treat Emsa for that purpose as if it was Soif. Ma Soif Hektish en Mosif Chaimish. Just like the last item in the chain, there's no Chaimish involved, which by definition, because the last item in the chain is something that's actually being used for the structure of the Beis Mikdash, or for the maintenance or whatever. There's no pidyon, there's no Chaimish ever being given for it.
So why do we
therefore af emsa hektish any most of Chaimish. Therefore the earlier links in the chain also anything other than the first one. In other words, Rashi says like this. When it comes to soif hektish, you don't need a pasuk to tell us you don't pay a chomish.
Right.
Obviously, there's no chomish involved. By definition, soif hektish is not being redeemed. It's being built into the building. If you have a miut in the pasuk, the imba behema atmeya, that you're using behema atmeya as a paradigm, as a binyan ab for anything else, it must be talking about emsa hektish. And therefore, teaching us that there's a difference between tchila and emsa. That's the difference.
What?
Which is exactly that. If it's Not to say that behemoth mayor can only be tchilas hektish. It's true, it can be emsa hektish as well. But the pasuk has to be telling us that there is a difference given that a behemoth mayor can't be so hektish, necessarily a behemoth mayor has to be either tchilo or emsa. If the pasuk is telling us, if the pasuk is mentioning behemoth mayor and we're using that to say that there's a certain rule that applies only to behemoth mayor or anything similar to it, but not other things, that must mean that we're making a distinction between tchilo and emsa. It can't be a distinction between tchila and soif, because a behemoth mayor can never be soif. Therefore, of necessity, the pasuk must be teaching us that there's a difference between tchila and emsa.
And up to this point, we didn't know that?
No, but that we were trying to figure that out. But that in other words, that's what Ravina meant. Not to say, when we say that behemoth mayor could be the emsa hektish, sure, it could be the second link. However, the pasuk is teaching us that for this purpose, emsa is like soif. Soif itself, obviously, there's no chomish because it's never getting redeemed.
So
the pasuk is teaching us that emsa is in the same category.
Cannot be
that there's no chomish. But there's no chomish, which goes back to what we said before, to what Rabbi Shurban Levi said: tchila hektish versus hektish rishon versus hektish sheni.
You're close now.
Yeah, well, relatively today is supposed to be definitely involved, really. But yeah. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. Onward.
Going faster than last week.
Yeah. Okay. I talk faster. Okay. Amalei Marzutzer Breidu Rav Mori Lorvina. However, okay, fine and good, but Marzutzer Breidu Rav Mori Astrovina. After all, my chodus the medamis leila soif hektish. What makes you think that emsa hektish should be, if you have a choice, what you're comparing emsa hektish to, compare it to tchilo or compare it to soif, what makes you say that it should be compared more to soif hektish and therefore no chomish? Nedami le tchilo hektish. Compare it to tchilo and say that there is.
We come to saying that it's more comparable to tchila than to soif.
No, we're saying that it's more comparable to soif.
So he's asking,
yeah, why? What's the logic? And now, Tosfos says, okay, what about we just said soif hektish by definition, there's no pidyon? The answer is, Tosfos says, let's say, for example, the gizbar, fine, you had the horse, then you had the donkey, then you had the gizbar, got some stones. Now, let's say the intention was to use the stones for the building of this mikdash. Now, let's say, after all, they decided before they ended up building them into the building, you know what, better let's be part of them. Well, they were bought as soif hektish. Now they sort of turn into emter. But the fact is they were bought as sof hekdesh, and therefore in that case there is pidyon. In that case they are being redeemed, and we're saying you don't have to add a chodesh. But why should emter be comparable to that? Maybe emter should be comparable to tshila. The pasuk would be telling us, in other words, when you have sof hekdesh, which actually ends up getting used, that is never nifter. Sure, there's no chodesh, but maybe any previous case, maybe there is. Amalei, misnaber l'sof hekdesh habalei l'demuyi. Fine, but after all said and done, it's more logical to compare emsa to sof shekein nitpas bin nitpas, because you have a certain comparison between them, because in each case the kedusha is not original to it.
Right.
Nitpas, the kedusha was given over to this thing, was pasted onto this thing from the previous one, from the horse to the donkeys, from the donkeys to the stones. As opposed to the horse was tchil effective, it was the original thing that you declared.
Why are you more comfortable to go to the first?
Therefore, that's why it makes more sense to compare it to the soap, because the emsa and the soap are both nitpas. Neither one is the kedusha original. Okay. Well, then the question is: Adraba l'tchil effective shavu l'demurish can davar she'ash achav kedusha midavar she'ash achav kedusha. Fine, look at it the other way around. The horse has something else after it which has kedusha. The donkeys have something else after them which has kedusha. The stone has nothing else after it which has kedusha, because it itself is being built into the building and there's nothing after it. So I would compare the tchila to the emsa. Or compare the emsa to the tchila, whatever. The answer is kid'oma rava. Yes, but we can use like what Rava said. The fact that the Torah says v'imba behema hatmeya, the hay of hatmeya, teaches us similar to what Rava says in a few other places. Ha oila oila rishona. The pasuk says ha oila. So we learn, we say every day in Abaye Hab Masader, the din is, nothing else is brought on the Mizbeach before the Korban Tumim in the morning, nothing else is brought on the Mizbeach after the Korban Tumim in the afternoon. How do we know nothing goes before the Korban Tumim in the morning? Because the Torah says, Al Ha Oila. And Ha Oila implies the Oila, the first Oila. So in other words, that the Korban Tumim has to be the first Oila of the day. There's other Mepharshim who explain the limud and other Tosfos mentions over here that it may mean for example that it's the first korban. It may mean for example that it's the first korban the Jewish people ever brought was a korban talmid. Whatever the point is, that the word the hay of ha'ola teaches us the first one.
It's the one.
Yeah. Hachinami hatmeya means tmeya rishon. The same thing when the pasuk says over here v'imba behema hatmeya, the hay teaches us we're actually talking about the first one. Therefore, never mind all this we're talking about. It's more logical to compare emsa to so forth. It's more logical to compare to tchila. The pasuk itself is implying that there's a difference between tchila and anything else. So therefore, emsa and so forth are on the same level.
The hay
makes a difference. Therefore, no chomesh.
We don't know the meaning of that difference.
Well, but now we know that it means. In other words,
but what does it mean? More kedusha. There's more.
In other words, that just like ha oila means the first oila, behema hatmeya means the first behema tmeya in the chain. Anything else after it is not behema hatmeya, it's a behema tmeya.
Obviously, the second
okay.
is not the first.
That's the point. Therefore, the pasuk is implying that there's a certain rule that applies to behema hatmeya, namely that you have to add a chomesh. That rule does not apply to anything else in the chain. And there you go. There's a difference between hekdesh rishon and hekdesh sheni, like Rabbi Shurban Levi said. Okay. Umas says, Tanya kapaseh de Rabbi Shurban Levi. In fact, we learn another brisa explicitly like Rabbi Shurban Levi.
Confirming this,
a person says, if a person says, I have a para that's supposed to be hektish, instead I'm giving this other para instead of it. Now, mind you, I mean, here we're not talking, Tosfos points out over here, we're not talking about over here, there's a difference between tmura and pidyon. In tmura, the Torah tells us, if you declare that I'm making this animal a tmura in exchange for that animal, both of them become kodesh, plus you get malchus.
Yeah.
So here we're not talking about that, obviously.
No.
But what?
You had to get Marcus because it's Tommy?
No, not because it's Tommy. We're talking about an animal that was meant to be used for a carbon.
Yeah.
I declared this potter is going to be a carbon.
Yeah.
Later on, I say I'd rather keep this potter for myself. I'm going to exchange it for this other one. The Torah says, "V'ha'yahu t'morasi yekodesh." Both of them are going to be kodesh, and you're going to get Marcus because you were over on the positive loyachlifen of loyamoroise. However, here we're talking about Tosfos says. we must be talking about that it's kosher bedek abayis. We're not talking about that this cow was kosher mizbeach, where it was going to be brought as a korban. Rather, we're talking about it was kosher bedek abayis, where it was. It's just it has kedushas domin rather than kedushas agur. Okay. Tosfos also talks about that we can be talking about that it had a mum before you marked the shit. Okay, whatever. So if he says parazu tachas parashal hektish, so a person has para A, which had declared hektish, like Tosfos says he declared it kosher bedek abayis, and now he says I want this other para to be instead of that one. Or talus zu tachas talus shal hektish, or he says this talus is instead of this talus which I previously donated to hektish. Hekdesh padui, then the hektish is padui. It works. What even though he didn't figure out what the actual values are, because Rashi says b'di'evit if you machalo hektish even on a shava pruta, b'di'evit it works. You have to pay later on, but it does work to make the first thing chulin. The yad hektish halal yona. However, hektish has the upper hand in the sense that if the original cow was worth $10 and the second one was worth 20, good, hektish gets the second one. You don't have the ability to say, wait a minute, only half of this new one should be hektish. On the other hand, if the new one is worth only 8, the gizbarim are going to be entitled to collect another 2. From you.
When it decreases, it's 8, they can take the difference.
Either way, they're going to be getting at least $10 worth for the pidyon. Yeah. On the other hand, parazu b'chomesh sloyim takas parashal hektish. What if he explicitly says the value of the second para? He says this second para is worth 5 sloyim, and it will be instead of the first one. Talasu b'chomesh sloyim takas parashal hektish. Also hekdeshe padui. Also, again, the pidyon takes effect. Even if Rashi says, even if the second para or the second talus is not in fact worth 5 sloyim, nevertheless, it's the pidyon still works. But again, he's going to have to make up the difference. Yeah.
So
in other words, Rashi says the difference is in both cases. Rashi says in both cases, the pidyon works. Just the difference is in the first case, yad hektish alo yoina, in the sense that if the second part is worth a lot more, hektish gets to keep it anyway.
Right.
In the second case, Tosfos points out we don't mention yad hektish alo yoina because. Obviously, by mentioning an amount, he meant to say that he wants to be mechalo on the smaller amount. So you can't say yad hektish alo yoina. Tosfos learns differently than Rashi. You can't say you can't say necessarily that he's going to be obligated to make up the amount. Because we haven't finished yet. Right. The point that we're going to prove Rabbi Shurban Levi's point is from the last words of the Braisa. Al hektish rishon moisef chomesh, al hektish sheni en moisef chomesh. You will have to pay a chomesh if you're redeeming the first part, but not if you're redeeming the second part or talis. There you go. That tells us exactly what Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying. Mishnah says, Ha'ina abar kesef. Ha'ina consists of four zuzim. In other words, if you're buying something, four ma'is, a seller contains 24 ma'is, because it's 6 ma'is to a dinner and 4 dinner to a seller. We learned before previously. Ma'is is silver coins, yeah. They're one of the smallest silver coins.
But they are silver coins,
yeah. So we learned earlier in the parrot that Aina is defined as 1/6. So therefore, if you're buying something worth a seller, then Aina, that the relevant amount that's considered Aina, is four ma'is, 1/6, 4 out of 24. Taina shtekesef, when it comes the concept of having to swear in basin on somebody else's taina is only if there's 2 ma'is, only if there's 2 silver ma'is involved. The Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara actually discusses the details. Does it have to be that you denied a complete 2 ma'is? Does it have to be the original claim was two ma'is? Whatever it is, somehow 2 ma'is are involved over there. When we get to Shavuos next year, Baz Hashem, we'll discuss the detail. But
8 out of 24.
No, not 8 out of 24. If Reuven says to Shimon, "You owe me money,"
yeah.
and Shimon is moed b'mitzvah, Shimon will only have to swear if the claim involved at least 2 ma'is. If Reuven comes and says, "You owe me 1 ma," and Shimon says, "I only owe you half a ma," nothing's going to happen. He's not going to be made to swear. The Haidah Shava Prusa. On the other hand, when it comes to Haidah, for it to be considered Moedim Mikzas, the Haidah is at least the Prusa. So again, like I say, in Shavuos, the Gemara discusses the details, but what Rashi mentions over here, according to one of the opinions, that it means, for example, Reuven says, you owe me two Moes, and Shimon says, all I owe you of it is a Prusa, or I owe you all of that two Moes minus one Prusa. But if he were to say I owe you only half a prutah, or if he were to say I owe you two moed minus half a prutah, then it's not considered moed. It has to be a minimum of a taina of a claim of two moed, and a minimum of a hadah involving one prutah.
Yeah, you can save money. Just wait till he takes the other day, then you can save a half a penny.
Yeah. Midrabon, he's still gonna have to swear sure what's that. We're talking about midaraisa here. Onward. Chomish Prutah same. So the Mishnah continues. There's five cases in Halacha that involve a Prutah. Number one, Ha'idah Shav Prutah. What we just said, that an admission in Beis Din that would make a person Chayev a Shvura as Moedim Mitzvah is only if he's Moed down at least a Prutah. Va'isha Miskadesh as a Shav Prutah. To be Mekadesh a woman, you need a Shav Prutah. Va'anen of a Shav Prutah in a Hekdesh Mal. If you have Hana to the value of a Prutah from Hekdesh, then you've committed Me'ilah. Number four is if you find something that's worth at least a pruta, then you have to announce it. We learned previously in Elam Matthias that if the thing is worth less than a pruta, you're not obligated to. And number five, a case that we learned in Bava Kama, if a person steals from somebody else a shava pruta and swears falsely on it, then he has to go bring that money to him and return it to him, even if he's in Modai, even if he's far away, he can't get away with sending it to his shliach or whatever because he swore on it falsely. As opposed to if there hadn't been a shvur involved, he could have just given it to a shliach to hold it to bring it for him or whatever.
So then Modai
can go. Yeah, we mean Modai is like saying nowadays at the end of the year. We learned in Bava Kama there, actually, there was a verse that some of the said, there's a pasuk in Shaya that mentions that Mode is a place that silver and gold are unimportant to them because it's such a rich country. The Chiddush is, even though it's only a Prutah, you still have to schlep to Mode to give it to him, even though in Mode, even though it's certainly a Prutah. Yeah. So those are the five Prutahs.
What about America?
No. Interesting, by the way, the Taz in Shulchan Aruch brings up a point. What about there's another din that involves a prota as well. If you're, for example, hired by a goy to load or unload barrels of yain netzach, and you're having a hana of at least a prota, then you're schar is also, as opposed to if it was less than a prota, it should be mutter. So the Taz says, why don't we mention that over here also? So the Shach answer is, okay, you know, ton of a shire. The Mishnah may well have left out other cases. They also talk about an interesting thing. What about, for example, when it comes to tzedakah? Are you yotze to the mitzvah of tzedakah if you give less than a prota? There's an argument to be said that since the Mishnah didn't list it over here, then yes, you can. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the
deal? It's a discussion among Achronim. I don't know what the
Mishnah
is.
What did you say
The Taz talks about if you're unloading barrels of wine, some of which are Yain Nesach, and it turns out therefore that your schar for doing the barrel of Yain Nesach turns out to be at least a pruta, then that after is all your schar. Because of that pruta.
Are you allowed to charge for Yain Nesach? No,
you're charging the guy to do work for him. You know what? When we learn the Sefer Avodah Zarah, we'll learn about it in detail. Let's leave it for now. I just mean. Okay. Okay, the Gemara says, what do we need? What's the chiddush of the first part of this Mishnah? Tanena chada zimna. We already learned before, earlier in our parak, ha'ayna abar kesef ma'abar ve'esher ma'abar kesef l'fela shtus l'meka. We already said that ayna consists of four ma'os out of 24 ma'os, where there are 24 ma'os to a seller, namely one-sixth of the price. What is our Mishnah adding? The answer is that tainah shtekesef ayda shav prutah. Fine, the Mishnah is just using that as an introduction to the tainah shtekesef and the hadar shav prutah that we continued in our Mishnah. Okay, the question is, those are also not a chiddush. So that's why I need it. So the question is, tainah shtekesef ayda shav prutah. The Mishnah is mentioning that because the Mishnah wanted to mention together all the various dinim that involve certain minimum amounts of money. therefore, it's true. The Mishnah, there's no chiddush in the part about Einav. That's just meant as an introduction to the next part. Fifth question is Hanami Tanena. Fine, we have a Mishnah in Shavuos that tells us the same thing. Shavuos Adayonin Hatayna Shdekesifai Dal Shavuot Brosa. So that next line of our Mishnah is also not necessary. We're going to learn it in Shavuos. The answer is safer. It's Tuchalei Dekatani Chavish Brosa. Saying yes, but the part where the Mishnah continues that there's five Brosas, that's a Chiddush. That's something we don't have anywhere else. And therefore, so as an introduction to that, the Mishnah brought in the various other things with its minimum amount. So the Mishnah said Chomish Pruta, and Cholam. The question is, we're listening Nami Hainah Pruta. Why don't we mention a sixth one? That, let's say, for example, you bought something which was worth six Prutas, or five Prutas, let's say. The guy charged you six. That's enough. He charged you an extra, one-sixth.
Isn't that included in your case?
No, because the Mishnah said Hainah Abar Kesef. The Mishnah is mentioning Chomish Prutah saying, but there you have a sixth case where if there's a value of a Prutah, then you have the Din of Einav comes into play.
If it's less than a Prutah, and it's less even than a, though it's a sixth, it's not Einav.
Yeah. Omer of Kahana, Zoy Semeres, Ein Einav the Prutah. Well, that goes to show then that there is no Einav when it comes to Prutah. Which means, Rashi says, in other words, if the value of the thing was less than an Isser, and Isser is the smallest silver coin, it consists of 8 protas. Kami prota after Mishmonim Isser Eitalki. If the value of the purchase was less than an Isser, then the din of Einar does not apply. So therefore, the Mishnah didn't mention that Einar could be a prota, because it can't. An Isser consists of 8 protas. Therefore, if there's going to be Einar in that case, it's going to be more than a prota.
I see, at least an
Isser. Yeah.
Which is it.
The Levi Yom Yesh Einar the Prutas. However, Levi says there is Einar as far as Prutas. Yeah. V'chein Tani Levi Mefnifan. In fact, Levi taught in his collection of prices like that. He learned, he had a different version of the list of five from our Mishnah. Chomish Prutas Ein, Einar Prutas, V'haidar Prutas, V'kedush Yeshiv Prutas, V'gezel Prutas, V'yeshiv Tzadayon Prutas. He has several differences in his list. He's saying that Einar, Haidar, fine, which is the same as our Mishnah, Kiddush Isha, fine, the same as our Mishnah. But then he added two new ones. Gezel, similar to Gozel of Chavera Shavakrutta that we had in our Mishnah. But then he added the Yeshiva Sadayonin Bukrutta. Dayonim will only sit for a case if the claim is at least a Prutta. Meaning, Rashi says, let's say we're not talking about Shavua. Shavua, we said, you need Shtei Kes. We're talking about over here, let's say Reuben has 80 that Shimon owes him money. If that amount, or let's say, for example, Chayev Moida, Shimon himself admits it. Let's say, but now you need Beis Din to force him to actually pay it. As long as the claim is worth at least a pruta, Beis Din will sit in session for it. So the question is, Atani Dan, my time like Atani Yeshiva Sadayonin. Fine, why doesn't our Mishnah mention it's Yeshiva Sadayonin? Takazoi, it's true, Beis Din doesn't sit for less than a pruta.
It should be mentioned.
The answer is Tana like Gezel. Fine, but the Mishnah mentioned Gezel, and this is all. Gezel means, in other words, that once we say that Gozel is Chaver Shavu Prutah B'Nishbalay, etc., it means that a Prutah is considered a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's true as far as all Dini Mamonis. Anytime you have Dini Mamonis, a Prutah is considered a significant amount. Well, therefore, since Dayanim are obligated to sit in judgment on cases of claims, on Dini Mamonis, then obviously it includes the Prutah as well. The Mishnah doesn't need to...
You equate Gezel to everything else.
Not really equating Gezel. Well, in terms that they're all Dini Mamonis, yeah. That's what Rashi says. But given the ton of Gezel but Prutah, once the Mishnah has mentioned that Gezel is a Prutah, Shmamina Mamoinu, that goes to show that Prutah is...
How would you try a case that has Gezel in it?
That would be totally irrelevant. No, that's not the point. The point is to apply the minimum that's for Gezel to anything else in Dinim Amunus. That's the point.
Shmamina Mamoinu, that goes to show a Prutah is considered a significant amount of money. The Kafinin, and therefore Beis Din has the ability to force the guy to pay. The question is, Umilai Tani Gezel, but Tani Aveda? Fine. So what? The Mishnah mentioned Gezel, but it also mentioned Aveda, Shavas Aveda, which is also Dinim Amunus. Yeah. So the Mishnah obviously doesn't mind mentioning two different cases of Dinim Amunus. Fine, so it should have mentioned a third one. The answer is Hanachit Tzurichalei.
Which third one?
That should have mentioned what Levi mentioned, Yeshiva Sadayonim. The answer is Hanachit Tzurichalei, because the Mishnah had to tell us Dafka those two, because there's a Chiddush in each one of them. Gezel and Aveda.
And not in the...
But no, wait. Gezel is what we say, HaGoriz Machaber V'Nishbala, Shavah Protz V'Nishbala Yelchen HaAchara V'Lamadai. This concept that we're saying, that if it's, even, that if it's only a Prota, that you have to go as far as Madai, that is a Chiddush that we wouldn't know just by saying generically it applies to Dini Mamanis. You would say, fine, it applies to Dini Mamanis. Fine, but maybe, okay, so you have to return it to him, fine, Behesh V'Zela, very nice. Doesn't mean that you have to walk, doesn't mean you have to go follow him to Madai to return it in person.
Yes,
Aveda is Hamotza Aveda Shavah Prota Chayv La'achar. When we say that you have to renounce something which is a Shavah Prota, the Chiddush of it is the Achar Gabda Zol. Even if the value of it went down from when you found it until you start announcing it, you're still obligated to do it because at the time you found it, it was worth a Prota.
Oh, and then if it goes below,
then you still have to continue.
So
the Mishnah had to mention those two cases because there's a Chiddush in each of them. The Mishnah did not have to mention Yeshiva Sadeyonin because there's no particular Chiddush in it. Once we understand that a Prota is considered Mamon for those two purposes, obviously it's considered Mamon for all other purposes as well.
And therefore you need two and not three.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Fine. The question is, okay, so fine. So now we understand our Mishnah. Now let's ask the question back on Levi. The Levi, my time of Latana Aveda Prota. Why didn't Levi list the concept of Ashavas Aveda? He mentions Gezel and he mentions Yeshivas Adayonin. Why doesn't he mention Aveda? It's a ton of like Gezel. Fine. So he says, okay, again, we included Gezel, and Gezel tells us generically that it's
included. Why did he mention Yeshivas Adayim also?
The question. The fact that he mentions Yeshivas Adayonin, fine. It's normal that a Mishnah gives us something briefly and a Braisa explains it in more detail. So the Mishnah knew, the Tana of our Mishnah assumed, once we're told Aveda and we're told Gezel, we ourselves can understand from that Yeshivas Adayonin. Levi, being already writing a Braisa, composing a Braisa, has to explain things more in detail.
You don't know there's no Chiddush?
No.
Levi was friends with Rav.
Levi, yeah.
And he wrote Braisas, but Rav didn't write Braisas.
Rav is actually quoted in a few places. There's I think, three places in Shas where Rav is quoted in a Braisa under the name of Abba. That was his first name, Abba. But Levi put together a whole collection of braises. Rav did not. Yeah.
He wrote. He was Masada braises.
He was Masada braises. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So why did Levi have to mention
Again, because it's normal that a braise is going to explain things in more detail. Even there's not much of a chiddush in it, fine. But you know, by the time we get to braises, we're on a lower level than the Mishnah. We need things spelled out for us more. But why doesn't he mention Aveda? My time of Latona Aveda Bekrutta. Again, the answer is Tana like Gezel. Fine, but again, Levi can take the view. We mentioned Gezel automatically. That means Dini Mominus. Okay, again, Umila Katani Yeshiva Gezel, Katani Yeshiva Sadeyonin. Fine, but he found the need to mention Gezel and Yeshiva Sadeyonin. So obviously, again, he needs to spell out certain things of Dini Mominus. Why didn't he spell out Aveda as well? The reason is Yeshiva Sadeyonin, because he has a Chiddush that he felt he had to mention Yeshiva Sadeyonin specifically, La Puki Medira Katina. As opposed to tell us not like what Rav Katina holds. So I'm Rav Katina based in Niskachin after the Lepachah of Shavah Prota, because Rav Katina says that based in will get involved even if it's less than a Prota. Levi disagrees with that. Therefore, he had to specifically mention Yeshiva Sadeyonim to tell us not like that.
Well, doesn't that beg the question if Rav Katina will hold that there is Gezel in Pachas Shavah Prota?
No, so Rav Katina would say, To based in this kokin is fine for any amount, even less than a prutta. But still, only a prutta is considered real mammon, and therefore, if you're talking about a case of nishba and yechelan achrav, you're not going to make him do it less than a prutta. You're not going to make him do ashavas aveda for less than a prutta, etc. Fine. So that explains that. Okay, the question is, will Levi my time like it's only hektish? Fine, let's continue. Why doesn't Levi mention what we said in our Mishnah that if your nan never shoved a prutim in a hektish, you committed me'ilah? Why did Levi leave that off his list? The answer is, b'chulim kamayri b'kodshim like kamayri.
Don't need his opinion?
No, everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that me'ilah applies to at least the prutim. So why is Levi leaving it off his list? The answer is, b'chulim kamayri b'kodshim like kamayri. Because Levi wants to include in his list only things that have to do with Chulin, not things that have to do with Hekdesh. In other words, basically what we have is, apparently, there was a known thing by the Tanoim that there's five Prutas. how we define what those five purposes are, that you have different opinions. In particular, Levi held, by definition, those things, the five purposes, have to only include cases of chul and not cases of hekdesh. Where the Tana of our Mishnah didn't have to hold that way, therefore he can include hekdesh. Okay, well then the question is, Elatandi Dan Kamayri Bekodshim. Fine, our Tana obviously is including cases of Kodshim because he includes Me'ilah. In that case, Nisni Maisir Bekruta. Fine, in that case, he should add a sixth one. He should have to add or take out one of the other ones. That Maisir, if you redeem Maisir, that if you redeem Maisir, it's worth at least a Pruta.
Uh-huh.
As we said before, as we talked about in the Sogia of Morisir Roshonis, it's worth less than a Pruta. You can't be Poder on a new Pruta. You have to use Morisir Roshonis. You have to use the leftover of previous money. The answer is Kamandoma and Mechumshe Pruta. Fine, but our Tana can be holding, according to the opinion that we said over there, Rabbi Achi and Rish Lakish, that says that no, that din applies not if the Maaser Sheni itself is worth a Pruta, but if the Chumash is worth at least a Pruta. In other words, the Maaser Sheni itself has to be worth at least four Prutas. Again, as we said, according to Rashi to Tofus, or according to the Rambam, have to add a Chumash in the first place.
So our Tana would hold.
Our Tana wouldn't mention.
But
when it comes to Maaser, the threshold is not one Pruta, the threshold is four Prutas. Okay, the question is, we're listening to Chomish Maaser B'Pruta. Fine, okay, but then obviously, according to that opinion, the point is the Chomish has to be worth at least a Pruta to mention that. The answer is, B'Kamino Kamayri, B'Chomish Lo Kamayri. Fine, but the Mishnah, the list in our Mishnah only includes cases where the Keren is at least a Pruta, not where the Chomish is a Pruta. So in other words, again, all the Tanoim have it as a given, there's a list of five Prutas. What we include in those five Prutas, they have different criteria for what they held should be included and not, and what should and shouldn't be included.
Some include the Chomish, some include the Keren.
No. Neither the Tana of our Mishnah nor Levi included anything involving Chomish. We're saying like this. The Tana of our Mishnah only wanted to include things of Keren. Levi went beyond that and said, never mind that. It's furthermore, we don't even want to include things of Hekdesh at all. Therefore, no Maaser Sheni. Therefore, no Kodshim. Therefore, no Truma, anything like that. We're only going to mention things involving Cholin. Therefore, he left. Not to say, in other words, that they disagree. Levi agrees, for example, that Me'ilah applies to at least the Prusa. The Tana of our Mishnah would agree that if the Maaser Sheni is worth at least four purposes, then it's Tofus, and you have to pay a Chomish. They're just not putting it in their list for technical reasons, basically. But they would agree with the actual din. Gufa, getting back to what we just said, Omer of Ksina, based in the Skokhan Afilu Apostle of Shavu Prutta, that if Ksina says that based in will get involved and judge a case even if it's less than a Prutta, Mosiv Rava. So Rava asks on that from a Braisa. The pasuk says the Esa Shachotim and Hakodesh Shalom. The pasuk says in the case of the Ila, what a person mistakenly misappropriated from Hekdesh, he has to pay. L'Rabbis Pachas Meshavah Prutah Lahi Shavim. That comes to teach us that the fact that the pasuk is S, the S Esa Shachotim and Hakodesh, the S is a ribui. So therefore, we learn from that even if it's less than a Prutah Lahi Shavim, then you have to return it, which means Hakodesh Ein Avol Lahebiyat Loi. Evidently, then, the Braise is telling us that concept of less than a Prutta applies only to Kodesh, does not apply to Mehedia. So why would Rav Katina say that Beis Din is going to obligate the person to pay back less than a Prutta? Ela Yitma Hochi Yitma. No, rather, you have to say that it was said as follows. Amar Rav Katina, Im Huzkiku Beis Din L'Shava Prutta. If Beis Din sat and started deciding a case, which is worth at least a Shavu Prutta, Goyman after a little pach from a Shavu Prutta, then they will finish off the case, even if it's less than a Shavu Prutta. Which means,
in the case they...
well, so Rashi says it means that, let's say, for example, so Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din, you owe me a Prutta, and Beis Din goes and decides the case, before they get up, having finished that case, Shimon says, you know what, while we're in Beis Din, Reuven, you owe me half a Prutta.
Changes his claim.
Not changes his claim. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. Reuven said, Shimon, you owe me a Prutta.
Beis Din
discussed that case. Right. Now Shimon comes and says, by the way, Reuven, you know what? You owe me a half Prutta from before, from a different case. Beis Din will still get involved with that case because they're already sitting for a Prutta. Other Mefarshim learn that what it means is if the original claim was on something which is worth a Prutta, and during the course of the case, the value of it goes down, there's deflation, and now it's worth less than a Prutta, Beis Din will still finish off the case.
So in either way, whether it's the total amount has to be less, it has to be greater than a half a Prutta,
although during the case, the value decreases.
Yeah. Because tchilas adin ba'in in prota, because only at the beginning of the din Torah do you require that it's worth a prota. Gemar din loy ba'in in prota, whereas when it comes to gemar din, we don't need at that point that it should be worth a prota. Beis din will still continue sitting for less than a prota as well. So again, we said Levi would disagree with that, but we're saying that's what Rav Katina is saying. Well, the halacha is like Rav Katina, that niskakin, that once they sat for a prutta, they'll continue for less than a prutta as well. What the halacha is, as far as, by the way, when he said before, eino no la prutas or yesh eino la prutas, if I remember correctly, the Rambam and most Rishonim Paskin like Rav Kahana, based on the wording of our Mishnah, that indeed eino does not apply to cases involving less than a kisser, involving only prutas. Where the actual ana would be a prota or less. The Rosh holds like Levi, holds that the halacha is like Levi, that yesh ana the prota. No, I don't know. I don't know if it ends up being a difference of Ashkenazim versus Sfardim. I don't remember what the Machaber versus the Ramah. I think the Machaber and the Ramah bring the same two opinions. Whether that means that Ashkenazim versus Sfardim, I don't know. Yeah.